God told Ezekiel he is looking for a special person, someone to stand in the gap, an intercessor. Abraham was that kind of person. Welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. This time we have a teaching session from Genesis chapters 18 and 19. The title is Interceding for God's Mercy. Well, what in the world do we do when we look around us and see today the nation and the country and the world and the shape that it's in? What kind of prayer do you pray? How do you pray? How do you go about talking to the Lord about it? The scripture tells us that one of the greatest things we can do is to intercede. To intercede means to pray on behalf of someone else. Thank God for intercessory prayer. Thank God for every time somebody lifts up a prayer on my behalf. And I'm so thankful that every prayer that goes up on behalf of those who are in need. Sometimes we don't even really realize how bad our needs are or how critical our needs are. And we don't even realize what dangerous situation that we're in. God will put it on somebody's heart. I know it's happened to me. Why in the world am I thinking about this particular person? God puts that person on your heart a lot of times so you can pray for them and intercede for them. And you say, I don't know what they need, Lord, but whatever it is, I pray that you would work in their behalf right now, because God already knows what they need. Yeah. He knows the situation they're facing. And he is looking for someone. He could just do it from heaven, but he uses you and I. He's looking for someone to intercede on behalf of others. We're talking about interceding for God's mercy. We don't need to pray that God would judge them. Sometimes this happens, but we need to pray for mercy. Yeah. We don't have to pray that God will judge them. He's going to if they don't get right with God.
That's right.
We need to pray for God to have mercy. God readily hears the interceding prayer of believers. He's just waiting to hear from us. He's waiting to hear from us to intercede on behalf of someone else. Our golden text is Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I don't need to even ask you, do you believe that we have infirmities? We certainly have weaknesses. We have shortcomings. Our infirmities keep us sometimes from praying like we should. They keep us from believing like we should. The Spirit helps our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't even know how to pray like we ought to. We don't know how to pray to the end of what we should pray for. We cannot see all the ins and outs. God knows the end from the beginning from the end, and he knows all about it. We are so finite in our judgment and in our knowledge that we don't know. We try to pray, and sometimes we think we know what we ought to pray for, but we are not able to see the future. We're not able to know what's coming down the line, and we don't even know how to pray like we ought to, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will pray for you. He will pray through you, and he will pray sometimes in English, sometimes in tongues. And it says here, the groanings cannot even be uttered. There is a prayer in the Spirit that you just groan before God, that you pray in the Spirit. It's a sigh. There's a Hebrew character. Some of them are not even spoken. They're silent. And that's the way the Holy Spirit, the groanings that cannot be uttered, they are prayed before the Lord. He knows what the mind of the Lord is. He knows what the will of God is. And he prays through us and with us according to the will of God. We are to be in touch with the Holy Spirit, to have that relationship that God wants us to have, so that when we get in these situations, we'll be able to pray. God can use you as a prayer line. He can use you as a prayer funnel. He can just pray through you and pray through you to help somebody else. That was the kind of person Abraham was. He was an intercessor. Abraham hears God's judgment. These men that had come to see Abraham, and we believe that they were angels of the Lord, they came to see Abraham, and Abraham put a little feast there before them, and he fed them, and they informed Abraham, had been informed that Sarah would have a son, And so now these men rise up and they go towards Sodom, and they have their faces towards Sodom. God is preparing to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. We're in Genesis chapter 18 and chapter 19. The men rose up thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. So he goes with them and he accompanies them as they go toward Sodom. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" And when God said, "Shall I hide from Abraham," who was he talking to? He was doing like you and I do a lot of times. He was talking to himself. You know, I said to myself, "Myself." That's the way we do. We talk to ourselves. Sometimes we talk to ourselves because that's only somebody that'll listen to us. We talk to ourselves. God said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" He was talking to himself. God the Father was talking to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. When God said, "Let us make man," who is us? It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Elohim. God said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Now God was looking for someone to intercede on behalf of Sodom. He didn't stop it. They were still judged. They still faced the fire and brimstone, but God did everything that he could. And that's what God does. He does everything that he can to try to subvert, to try to take away judgment. God does everything he can to try to deter judgment and take it away. He does everything he can to try to save us and keep us out of hell. He sent Jesus to the world. He has given us the law. He has given us the prophets. And Jesus came to fulfill that. He gave us a new covenant. He gives us a Bible. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He does everything that he can to make sure that we're successful and make it, as Mercy Me says, all the way home, almost home. And God wants us to make it. He does everything that he can. He said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Are not all the nations of the earth blessed in him today? We are blessed because of Abraham. Galatians said we're blessed with faithful Abraham. We are sons and daughters of Abraham by faith. We have been blessed because Abraham was blessed. God said, "I know him. All the nations of the earth will be blessed because of him. I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." I know that Abraham will do what's right. And I know that his household will do what's right. And you say, "Well, what about the ages down through Israel? They didn't do what's right." No, they didn't always do what's right. But God knew that Abraham would do what's right. He knew that his household would do what's right. And somewhere down the line, they started doing wrong. And it's according to every man has a choice of his own. We can't blame our forefathers. They can't blame us, but we have a choice of our own. What we have done is not our forefathers' fault. It's our fault. We have to stand on our own, and we have to make our own choice. And the choices that we make are the mistakes that we make sometimes. It's our own fault. The things that America has done. She can't blame anybody else for what she's done. It's our own fault. And that's what God says. I know that Abraham will do what's right. Well, you say, "Well, how do you know that?" Well, he did. God told him to circumcise the men of his house, and that same day he said, "Come on, boys, step in line. Let's go." Whoo! Not me, hoss. But that's what he did. And they obeyed. Now, Abraham obeyed God. No matter what God told him to do, he did it. He didn't question God like we do. He didn't come up and go to the elders and go to the board and question it out and legend out and level it out. We got to have it all proven to us just exactly right, and then we'll decide whether we want to do it or not. God didn't do that to Abraham, and Abraham didn't do that to God. God said, "I know that they will do what's right. I know Abraham will do what's right. And I want to bring upon him that which I have promised him." God was able to bring and fulfill Abraham's promise because Abraham did what was right. The Lord said, now the Lord is talking this time. When the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" He was talking to the Godhead. He was talking to himself. And now the Lord is talking to Abraham. So God is now talking to Abraham. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see if they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is coming to me. And if not, I will know. Doesn't God know anyway? In his eternity, yes, he does. He knows everything. But God, there again, he was making sure. I want to do everything I can. If there's any way in the world, I want to know whether they're really doing as bad as they seem like they are. If not, I'll know. I'll go down now, and he sent the angels through them. He went down. I'll go down now and see whether it's according to the cry of it or not. If not, I'll know. Abraham sees and he hears God's judgment. God said, the cry of them has come to me. I can't stand it any longer. I've got to do something. And now Abraham pleads for God's mercy. Starting in verse 22, the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. Now they're going to investigate and they're going to bring judgment on Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham starts this conversation with God, and the scripture says that Abraham is a friend of God. They had this relationship where they could talk to each other about anything. See, I can talk to you about most things, but I can't talk to you about some things, because if I would talk to you about some things, you would condemn me and say, yeah, I knew there's something wrong with that broom boy. Just couldn't quite figure it out, but I knew something was wrong with him. Well, I can tell you there's more than something. There's a couple of somethings wrong with me. There's a lot wrong with me, because if there wasn't a lot wrong with me, I wouldn't need a Savior. When I came to Jesus, there was a lot wrong with me. And there's still some things wrong with me, but there's not nearly as many wrong with me as it was before.
Right.
I'm like Bill Gaither. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I'm going to be, but thank God I'm not what I was.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I know that there's some things wrong. And Abraham, he stood before God and he had this conversation with God because he's a friend of God. God is looking for someone right now to be a friend of God, to stand in the gap, not to complain, not to bellyache, not to gripe and groan. We've got a whole world of them. Don't need any more of them. We need somebody that'll stand up and intercede on behalf of our country. Because we can all complain, we can all curse about it, and I don't advocate that, of course, but you could do all that. You can rail at the TV. People talk to the TV. It's good that you can't hear us. We talk to it. My wife said, what are you doing again? Talking to the television. I said, well, if they wouldn't say the dumbest thing sometimes.
Yeah.
Can't believe how dumb stuff they are, and I'm the dumbest one for sitting there listening to it. That's what's wrong with me. That's another thing wrong with me. Right there it is. You found it.
Yeah.
Well, God is looking for someone to intercede.
Yes.
Abraham draws near and he says to the Lord, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. What if, Lord? Abraham must have been listening to Andy Griffin because he said, what if? What if? What if, Lord? What if there's 50 there? Wilt thou also destroy the people? Will you destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from you. That's not like you at all, Lord. I know you better than that. You and I, we have a good relationship, Lord. I know you better than that. That's far from you. That be far from thee to do according and after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. It's two times he said in one verse. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And in the Hebrew, it's like, shall not the judge of the earth do judgment? You're the judge of the earth. Surely you'll do judgment. Will not the judge of the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Abraham didn't expect God to say that. He didn't expect that there would be 50 and not be 50 there. He thought, surely there's 50 righteous people within Sodom, and if there are 50 righteous there, Lord, would you consider sparing the place for the 50's sake? God said, okay, I'll do it. Because, see, God knew there were no righteous people in Sodom. He knew that Lot was there. He was righteous. He started off righteous. He didn't end up righteous, but God knew it. Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. I know I'm just dust and ashes, and here I am talking to the Lord. Peradventure, there shall lack five of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of five? He said, If I find there 40 and five, I will not destroy it. He spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. He said, I will not do it for 40's sake. He said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall 30 be found there. Now he's going down, he's counting down. Started off 50, kind of confident. Now he's losing his confidence, counting on down. He said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. He said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. He said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. And the Hebrew is like, one more time. I'll say it just one more time. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Now, why did he stop at 10? There's several reasons. One is, I would have stopped too. Probably stopped a long time before he did. He was ashamed to go any lower. But another reason, in Jewish government, in Hebrew government, the 10 is as low as you go. So he stopped at 10. You know, the scripture talks about there'll be rulers over thousands and hundreds and 50s and 10s. 10 is the lowest denomination of government. What about this 10? Could there have been 10? I think about Brother Ralph Pegram when I think about this. He was always big on this story about Sodom and Gomorrah. And God could have, would have saved Sodom if there had been 10 righteous there. He said, I would not destroy it for 10. Could there have been 10? There could have. Think about it like this. Lot and Mrs. Lot, that's two. The two daughters at home that were not married, that's four. There were at least two daughters that were married. Them and their husbands were six, were eight. It would have been but two more. If they could have won two people to Christ, just two people, other than their family, if they could have won two people to Christ, it would have been enough to save Sodom and Gomorrah. But not only did they not win them to Christ, they had lost all their influence and testimony themselves. They didn't even have enough spiritual testimony in them left to let their sons-in-law to believe them enough to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah alive. Abraham now witnesses judgment and mercy. The scripture tells us in James chapter 2 that if you are a judge, you're a judge of the law, but if you have not shown mercy, he will have judgment without mercy who has showed no mercy, for judgment is there, but mercy rejoices against judgment. Mercy rejoices against judgment. Abraham saw judgment, but he also saw mercy. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. We thought that fire and brimstone came from hell. It also came out of heaven. God can make it come from wherever he wants it to come at. He rained brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Verse 26 has Lot's wife looking back from behind him and turning into a pillar of salt. J. Vernon McGee said, by the way, she had a bridge appointment that afternoon. She didn't want to leave Sodom anyway. She didn't want to go anywhere. She had attraction in Sodom. She had houses there. She had jewelry there, ling ling. She had attractions in Sodom. She didn't want to go. And even if she was really forced to go to follow Lot, she turns one more time to look back, and that was it. Turns into a bill of salt. Verse 27, Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. He goes to that same place that he talked to God. Sometimes you need that connection. You know that your mother's not there. You know she's in heaven with Jesus. You know she's not at the beach with the ashes. She knows that she's not in the grave. But sometimes you just got to have a connection. You can't go up to heaven where Jesus is right now. You can't go see mama. What do? I know it sounds foolish, but we go to that grave, don't we? We go to that place. We go to somewhere. Why do we come to the altar? Holy Spirit's not running fireballs on the altar. We can find God in the front door. We can find God in our seat. Why do we come to the altar? You got to have a connection. Sometimes you just need that connection.
Yeah.
Abraham went to that place where he talked to God. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah. And behold, toward all the plain, and beheld, lo, the smoke of the country went up as a furnace, the smoke of a great furnace. It came to pass, when God destroyed the cities and the plain, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Didn't even say God remembered Lot, which he did, but God remembered Abraham. The reason that Lot was spared from Sodom and Gomorrah is not by his own goodness. It's not by his own righteousness. He got out by the skin of his teeth. And he got out by the mercy of God upon Abraham.
Amen.
The reason that God sent Lot out of Sodom is because of Abraham. And you and I can stand in behalf of others. We can intercede for someone today. And I hope that this word of God will encourage us to intercede on behalf of others. Don't just waste your time. See what the church is going to do. See what the preacher's going to do. See what the board's going to do. See what this is going to do. Because next year at this time, you'll be seeing what somebody's going to do. But in the meantime, you and I could use our time that we've got left on this earth interceding on behalf of others. You may get too old to work for the company. They may not need your services anymore. As long as you're on this earth, you'll never get too old to intercede on somebody's behalf. You'll never get too old to pray for others. And the Spirit, likewise, helps our infirmities. We don't even know how to pray like we ought to, but He helps us with groanings which cannot be uttered, interceding for God's mercy. Father, thank You for the opportunity to study Genesis chapters 18 and 19. Lord, I wish we'd had a better report about Sodom and Gomorrah. But Your word says they are in samples. They are examples for those who should afterward live ungodly. All we have to do is look at Sodom. All we have to do is look at Gomorrah. Instead of legalizing abortion, instead of legalizing homosexuality, instead of legalizing dope and marijuana, God, help us to do the opposite. Help us to turn around and get right with God. Help us to realize in America that the same judgment that came upon Sodom and Gomorrah can come upon America individually and corporately as a nation. Lord, help us to get right with God. Help us to turn around before it's too late. We won't face the fire and brimstone perhaps from heaven, but we'll certainly face it from hell. That lake of fire that burns forever with fire and brimstone. All the fearful and ungodly and those who are idol worshippers and those who are sorcerers and those who are whoremongers and those who are liars will all have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. That's where the Antichrist, the beast, will go. The false prophet and the beast, the false prophet, the Antichrist are there. And many people's souls are there. No person should go to hell. It was made for the devil and his angels. But regretfully, those who do not know You and serve You, Lord, will have to face that awful fate. Now pray, Lord, that we would be spoken to for Your word. Help us to reach our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren and our nation around us before it's too late. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching session from Genesis chapters 18 and 19. As you know, even though Abraham interceded, it did not stop the judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. You and I can stand in the gap for those today who need Jesus as Lord and Savior. I hope that you have made Him your Savior and Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Brew Ministries.